Richard Graves, and this is Game Picks.
Yes, hello, welcome to Game Picks. It's the preview podcast of the NFL where I go head-to-head with my friends from around the league to see who cuts it when it comes to deciding the winners and losers every week. At the time of recording, we're still awaiting the result of the Ravens and Steelers. So it's not factored into our season scores at the moment. Week 12 is still in progress as we record this, heading towards week 13. But last week I went 12-3. Charles Dagnall went 11-4. We've both picked the Steelers. So I'm going to be back to winning ways. Basically because Charles backed the Denver Broncos before he knew that they wouldn't have a single quarterback on their roster. So that was hilarious for me. I'm 119-56-1. My guests are 113-62-1. So welcome back to try and add to that 113 for the guests. A man who came so close last time to knocking me off my perch, Sky Sports NFL reporter Richard Graves. How are you, mate?
I'm well, thanks, Neil. Still scarred, obviously, by Todd Gurley's inept performance a few weeks back. But I am actually surprised at how ruthless you are. Winning is everything.
Yeah, well, I haven't got many friends to begin with, so I don't need to. This is what actually is ironic about the line where it says I go head to head with my friends from around the NFL. I haven't got any. But, you know, so I'm just all about the wins. I'm collecting wins and losing friends. And as long as it stays in that order, I can live with it. You'll notice when we get to the game picks in a moment, we do the big six. I've actually put the Atlanta game in there just to mess with you, so that you remember how Todd Gurley let you down. Just remind our listeners, it was the game, right, where Gurley fell to the floor but couldn't stop himself getting into the end zone for the inadvertent touchdown.
Just apologetically rolled over the plane of the goal line, didn't he? And then, obviously, I think they had a minute left or something, no timeouts. All Atlanta's defense has to do is, you know, not concede a touchdown. Not only were they unable to stop the Detroit Lions marching downfield, but they then give them a personal foul penalty, I think it was. It was pass interference, wasn't it? So Matt Stafford throws the touchdown. Matt Prater, having been backed up through a penalty of their own, then just slots over the extra point, game over it. And professional to a fault, always, as you are, Neil, you were seen audibly laughing live on air.
Oh, yeah. I meant to separate my own personal game picks from producing a polished performance on screen. I'm not sure I ever did separate the two, but you know, I can live with it. I sleep well at night, so I'm all right with it. I just said at the start, we're recording this going into game week 13. Week 12 at the time of recording hasn't finished. It just kind of adds to the confusion when you're trying to make the picks, really, doesn't it? And especially because you never know who's playing. And I know last week on, you know, our Sky Sports version of this game that we play at the Pick'em with NFL UK, you know, I know you had Denver, because at the time you probably felt, well, Denver had just had a good win against Miami. They're playing well on defense. Before you know it, it's turned upside down.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll be honest, I mean, Taysom Hill's got two wins from two starts under his belt, but I didn't think that against that Denver defense, he would be able to make it two from two. Now, you look for most of that game, and he didn't uproot any trees, but the problem is, I think it was highlighted just how crucial the role of quarterback is in the NFL. And you've got some kid who I think I read right was working in sales only a few weeks ago, added to the practice squad in Denver, and then suddenly, having not thrown a pass at all in American football, college or otherwise, for a couple of years, is then promoted to starting in an NFL game. And he completed one pass. The first time in a couple of decades that somebody's thrown more interceptions than completed passes? Against that Saints defense, he never had a chance.
You'd have thought he would have been okay, though, knowing that he was playing in Denver, where Brock Osweiler had been before and Tim Tebow as well, that he wouldn't really be worried about the ghosts of the past. But clearly he was.
Don't, Neil, don't. I can't believe you've gone there.
Are you confident?
That's harsh, even by your standards.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible, isn't it? Are you confident?
This week? Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. There's going to be no Matt Prater reprieval for you this time.
All right, let's get to the picks. Okay, let's Let's get into these picks then for NFL Week 13. Just 5 weeks left before we get to the playoffs. And we're going to start with our big six, New Orleans at Atlanta. Gravesy, I made the mistake the first game between these two a couple of weeks ago. I picked Atlanta to win in the Superdome, and that didn't come anywhere close. They're always a tempting proposition on home soil. So I'm a little bit more tempted, but I'm going to go New Orleans to keep it going. Where do you see this one being won or lost?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Saints as well, despite what I said earlier about Taysom Hill, just because I think Atlanta's problem is consistency. And as impressive as they were last time out against the Raiders, this is a divisional clash. There's a lot on the line for New Orleans, especially with the way Tampa have slipped up in recent weeks as well. I think Sean Payton sets out that defense, which is just getting better week on week. And the question is, will Julio Jones play? Possibly not. Hamstring problem isn't an easy one to come back from. I'm going to take the Saints.
I made a bit of a joke there just a moment ago about Tim Tebow. And we all remember Tim Tebow. Great physical specimen, a tough guy, a running threat at quarterback. I would say Taysom Hill is closer to being Tim Tebow at the moment than being Patrick Mahomes. And I know that is a huge spectrum. But if you're going to tilt it one way or the other, I'm with you. I don't think he's kind of rooted up any trees. I don't know how much he has excited that fan base. And we've all been kind of wondering, oh, I wonder what Taysom Hill will look like as a starting quarterback. And it's kind of just been okay, hasn't it? What do you think of how he's done?
Yeah, for sure. I absolutely agree with you. Kurt Warner did a nice breakdown of what he'd seen from Taysom Hill before his first start a couple of weeks ago. And on play after play, he was missing open receivers, either been holding the ball too long or just flat out not seeing them. And you look back at that game in Denver last weekend, the interception he threw was unnecessary. It was a little bit late getting to the receiver as well, which allowed the Denver defense to make a play. So I think what you probably see on Sunday is Sean Payton looking to run the ball and run it again with the odd pass thrown in just to keep the Falcons defense honest. But I don't think you'll be seeing an aerial bombardment, if you like, no matter who the Saints have out there on offense. I think they'll look to make this a quick game and keep it tight.
Yeah, maybe not an aerial bombardment on our second game of the Big Six either. Cleveland at Tennessee. And straight away, I think of how Nick Chubb is driving the Browns' ground attack. And you know, Kareem Hunt was supposed to be able to mind the shop while Nick Chubb was injured. And I'm not sure the ground attack was quite what it's been over the last 3 weeks. Chubb's gone over 100 yards in three straight games. Derrick Henry, of course, is revving up nicely, ready for the playoff run. I think this game is going to be won on the ground. What do you reckon?
Really interesting game, because another man you haven't mentioned there, Odell Beckham Jr., obviously lost for the season. But although the Browns aren't a pass-heavy offense, they certainly seem to be having a higher completion of passes without Odell Beckham in there. We saw Jarvis Landry have an excellent game last weekend as well. It is a battle of the running backs. Nick Chubb, without a doubt, has made a massive difference since his return. And so too, as you say, as Kareem Hunt, because that 1-2 punch, that change of pace in the running game. And then you've got Derrick Henry, who, as we saw in Indy last weekend, the longer the game goes on, the stronger he gets, the more tired defenders get, and they struggle to bring him down. I'm going to take Tennessee because they've got home field advantage here, but this could be a good one. It could be a game of the weekend.
Yeah, I think it could be a very good one. I'm going Tennessee as well. I just think when they get hot, then they can be really strong. Actually, one thing to look out for is how streaky they've been. You know, they were slow starters against Pittsburgh, came back and then couldn't quite get the job done. They were slow starters against Baltimore and then came back. They were fast starters against Indianapolis and tailed off. So they need a complete performance, but I'm going to pick them as well. Let's move on to an NFC West game. The Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. Gravesy, I just want to start this one. I think actually it's quite interesting this. Jared Goff of the Rams needs play action passes, needs to have a strong running game, play action passes, his way to throw the football. If you just ask him to drop back, limited. You could say the same actually about Baker Mayfield when you look at the Cleveland Browns. So when you've got that kind of quarterback, it's fine if you've got the system and the system's going to work, but sometimes you're just going to need to throw the ball all over the field. And I don't know if Jared Goff can do that. It's just an interesting thought as we go into this game against the Cardinals team who show how quickly things can change in the NFL because they've lost two straight since that dramatic Hail Mary pass from Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins at the end of the Buffalo game in week 10.
Yeah, and they should have won in New England. They had a chance to kick a field goal at the end of the game and didn't get it right and allowed New England to come in through the back door and snatch the victory, if you like. It's interesting what you say about Jared Goff because I've never been entirely sold on him. Even the season when they went all the way to the Super Bowl, and there's a lot of talk about what Sean McVay was able to do in terms of talking to Goff until those headsets are switched off. This is a difficult one for me because the Rams, I thought, would win handily against a depleted 49ers side last weekend. And the 49ers deserved to win that game. Their defense took over the game. Jared Goff struggled. And, you know, but for a defensive touchdown, it wouldn't have been as close as it was at the end of the day. The Cardinals, on the other hand, Kyler Murray, he has issues with his accuracy passing. Once he gets into a rhythm and settles into the game, much better player. But certainly in the first quarter of most games, he struggled early on. Now, if they can extend play, get him in open space, perhaps use his legs a little bit, it's going to be different. I am going to go with the side on the road here, though, the LA Rams. I'm not convinced about it. I think I've seen a little bit more from them, but I'll take them to edge it.
Yeah, I think they're a more complete team. They're not always that flashy, but I think the defense can kind of bail them out a little bit as well. Kyler Murray, I'm a bit worried about, you know, the lack of production the last couple of weeks. That was a career low for passer rating for him last week, and the yardage of rushing and passing was right down there as well. So I'm going to go Rams. Let's go New York Giants at Seattle. And I've put this one in because I think the Giants, although the Daniel Jones injury is going to hurt them, they're just a bit of a fascinating watch now to see what they do under Joe Judge. You know, he's, of course, not going to be happy with a 4-7 record. But in that division, they are competitive and the defense has kind of woken up a little bit. So I'm going to pick Seattle, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on what the Giants have been able to kind of muster after an 0-5 start.
Yeah, well, not only are they competitive, they're tied for the lead in the NFC East, which, okay, look, we all know it's a bad division, but believe it or not, the New York Giants are in the hunt for the playoffs. And I think Daniel Jones has been getting better week on week as he adapts to Jason Garrett's offense. And like you say, what Coach Judge has done over there in New York, the team are still playing to a man for him. And that's crucial at this stage of the season in December. That being said, losing Daniel Jones with a hamstring is massive. And I think you'll see a big fall off in the offensive side of the game. They struggled to get past the Bengals last week the moment Daniel Jones left the game. I don't think Colt McCoy gives them nearly the range of options that Daniel Jones does. So Seattle at home, 8-3. They took care of the Eagles the other night, and I expect them to add another NFC East scalp this weekend.
All right, let's move on to... we're going to go to Philadelphia at Green Bay. And, you know, we're talking about the NFC East teams, and, you know, I think Philadelphia... They're all disappointing, aren't they, in their own way? But Philadelphia, I think everyone kept saying early in the season, I'm sure we've said it a couple of times to each other, now Philadelphia will find a way, they'll turn it around, they're too talented. Well, they haven't, and they are what the record says they are, and Carson Wentz is a struggling quarterback, and it's not just on the offensive line. You know, yes, the offensive line and the pressure doesn't help, but you're also missing open throws, you're missing open receivers, your accuracy is off. Yeah, the discord that seems to be there behind the scenes now with Doug Peterson. I mean, it's a really disappointing mess for Philadelphia, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just about to say that exact same thing. I think the organization itself is in something of turmoil here. I don't think it's just Carson Wentz anymore. Although I will say, I think he's suffered enormously since Frank Reich left the old OC in Philadelphia and went to take charge up at Indianapolis. And week on week, you can just see things getting worse for Carson Wentz right now. And you've got to ask what's going on the coaching side of things as well. We heard going into last week's game that Jalen Hurts was going to see more game time. I think he got to throw one pass and perhaps played only two snaps in the whole game. You're asking the question, what's going on there? You said yourself, Neil, all through the season, we've said, you know, Philly will find a way. They've got talent once players come back from injury and are fit again. And they're not. You know, the defense keeps them in games for a while, but they offer nothing offensively. And you look at the remainder of the schedule, perhaps they get a win where they go to Dallas, because Dallas might be a worse team than Philly are. But if they don't, I can see them losing out here and finishing the season with three wins. And who'd have thought that at the start of the season?
No, it's incredible when you think about where they could have been and where they might end up now. I'm taking Green Bay. I think, you know, they have the occasional bump in the road, the Packers, but they are one of the best teams in the NFC. They do have Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, that is one thing you can trust.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to last season. Am I right in thinking Philly went to Green Bay and got a win on Sunday night or Monday night football last year? I think that might have been the case. If it was, it's not happening this time around. Green Bay win this by double digits.
I thought you were going to go for it then. We have
not a chance.
We have everything the same so far as we go to the final one of the big six. Buffalo at San Francisco. I mean, that the 49ers are getting some of their pieces back, and they turned up last week, didn't they? Raheem Mostert scored a touchdown. Richard Sherman had an interception. Debo Samuel had a lot of those little catches that he turns into something. This could be a dangerous trip for Buffalo out west.
Yeah, and it's a big game for them if they've got their eye on the prize of the AFC East as well. But like you say, that game against the Rams last week, this San Francisco 49ers defense got some of their pieces back, players again getting healthy, and it made a difference to the way they played. And you've got to respect that, because as Jeff Reinbold, our colleague, will always say, defense wins championship. Rob Ryan was first on that bandwagon when he first mentioned that. And that's my concern with Buffalo. Remember last season how everything they did was built on a strong defense and shutting down the opposition? They haven't been that strong this time around. That being said, they're going up against Nick Mullins. And the flip side of the coin from that win over the Rams is that Mullins couldn't make plays. And they got home, but against a better team, I don't think they will. I think Buffalo are a better team, and Buffalo get the win.
I'm going Buffalo as well. I agree. You know, the 49ers now give me pause for thought. And I'm like, okay, this could be a tough game for Buffalo. But ultimately, I'm with you. I think they win that one. Let's get through the other games then. A couple towards the end, where I'm not even going to tell you what time they're being played, because we'll still wait and see. But Las Vegas at the New York Jets. The Jets are winless, rudderless, hopeless. Anything else you want to add that ends in less, I think, is the New York Jets at the moment. The Raiders were hugely disappointing last week, but I'm going for them to win this. Any more that end in less for the Jets?
No, I think you've pretty much covered everything there.
Clueless?
To be honest, Neil, it's a must-win game. For clueless, yes, absolutely. and rudderless.
Yes.
I question whether Adam Gase is still there come the start of next season. In 2 years, we've seen nothing from him at the helm of the New York Jets. And if you're the Raiders and it's a must-win game, you probably couldn't ask for better opponents than the New York Jets. They win.
All right, both going Las Vegas. Jacksonville have announced that they're going to keep Mike Glennon at quarterback. The tank for Trevor is truly on. At Minnesota, I'm going Minnesota.
Yeah, I go Minnesota as well. And again, someone we both know well, the head coach of the Jags, Doug Marrone's on a very hot seat right now. Remember at the start of the season, when Tom Coughlin was dismissed earlier in the year, Shad Khan said it's one more chance for general manager Caldwell and the head coach Doug Marrone. Well, Dave Caldwell went last weekend. I think Doug Marrone's probably going to follow him pretty quickly. Minnesota Vikings win.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't go together, actually. Cincinnati at Miami. Yeah. Fitz probably gets the start again. I'm going to say they keep it going at home. Bengals now with no Joe Burrow. They're pretty much playing out the slate. You going Dolphins?
Absolutely, yep.
Oh, I'll tell you what, we need to...
There's nothing more that needs to be said.
No, I'm going to have to do a bit of a left turn if I want to win this eventually. Although, you know, I could take a tie and maintain my lead. That wouldn't be very brave, though, would it? Let's see how we go the rest of the way, though. Indianapolis at Houston. That means I don't know, so I'm letting you go first.
Yeah, I like this matchup. The Houston Texans, remember how the schedule really got them off to a rough start. They had Pittsburgh, Baltimore opened up against KC. And obviously, Bill O'Brien lost his job when they went winless through those first several weeks. They've come on strong in the last month or so and were really impressive in taking care of Detroit in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. Indianapolis, though, I like what they're doing. I think DeForest Buckner's key for them. So I'd be interested to see what his fitness is because they missed him last week in that defeat to Tennessee. But I also think that they're a better, well-rounded team. They have to get this, having lost the Titans last week. I will take them to win on the road.
You go in Indianapolis. This is the one. Do I do it? Have I got the onions?
Can you do it?
Oh, no, Will Fuller's out, isn't he? No, I'm going Indianapolis. I forgot about Will Fuller. I was going to go with the whole Deshaun. Yeah, no, I almost did. Then I suddenly remembered. This one, we'll talk very briefly about Detroit at Chicago. Crikey. I'm going to go Detroit on the road. Crikey, what a game. What about you?
Well, where do you start? Obviously, Detroit cleaned house after that Thanksgiving Day humiliation. Then Matt Nagy proceeded to call out his players for their effort when they were humbled by Green Bay. So you've got two teams with very much a downward curve. I'm going to go with what Coach Reinbold says. Defense wins championships. The Bears have got a better defense. I'm going to take Chicago at home.
Oh, my God. Imagine if this all rides on me and you having to watch Detroit at Chicago like a couple of hawks. New England at the Chargers. I'm going to go. Some of these are tough, even though they're not that compelling. They are tough. I'm going to take the Los Angeles Chargers at home. What about you?
Do you know, I've gone back and forth on this one several times. I love what Justin Herbert's done at quarterback with the Chargers, and he seems to keep them in games week in, week out, and yet somehow as a team they find a way to throw games away. If there's ever a coach of a team that will exploit those chinks in the armour, it is Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. You saw what he managed to do against the Arizona Cardinals last week. He shut down their offence. The air raid offense, they call it. It was grounded last week in Foxborough. I think he takes New England across country, goes into LA and finds a way to get past the Chargers. I'm going to believe in the rings. I'm taking the New England Patriots.
All right. Denver at Kansas City. I'm going Chiefs. That's a very simple one for me.
Yeah, it's not even a competition, is it? No. Although they do get the quarterbacks back this weekend.
Yes,
so that'll be something. But yeah, give me KC.
Can't play all of them, though. Let's go. These two games are obviously being rearranged. Washington at Pittsburgh. I'll let you go first.
Well, honestly, I think Washington might be the team to win the NFC East, which would be a great story with Alex Smith on his comeback.
Yeah.
And great for Ron Rivera after everything he's gone through this season. They've got a fantastic front four, which might be one of the best in the NFL, but the Steelers have what I believe to be the best defense in the NFL. They're undefeated. That doesn't change this week, either against Baltimore a little bit later or against Washington on Monday.
All right, I'm going Pittsburgh as well. And then Dallas at Baltimore. I think this is a game for Baltimore to get back on track. And when you make your pick as well, just tell me what you thought of Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. I thought it was a coaching desperate Mike McCarthy.
Desperation's the key word. When you're going for a fourth down deep inside your own territory, inside the first quarter in a tight game, what are you thinking? Now, I know, look, they lost Cam Irvin and they lost Zach Martin. They're starting offensive tackles. But the whole game seemed to me to be played out of desperation when right up until 3 minutes into the fourth quarter, it was a four-point ball game. You know, you look at Washington's first 24 points, was it? And I think something like 17 of those were scored on two turnovers through a failed fourth down attempt, a failed going for it with a trick play, punting away on fourth down, and then a Zeke Elliott fumble when nobody touched him.
Right.
It was disappointing. The Cowboys, I think, are beating themselves right now, and I see whether Lamar Jackson's fit or not, and with it being pushed all the way back to next Wednesday, he should be available. I think the Ravens on defense with a running game should win this.
All right. So the two differences, I'm looking at them on paper. I'm not feeling good about them. I think you should be feeling quite good. I'm backing the Detroit Lions to win on the road against what is still a very good defense. And Anthony Lynn, who couldn't win a close game if you paid him, masterminding Bill Belichick. I don't know what I've done there. I don't know. Well, maybe I wasn't really thinking.
So to be clear, you're telling me that Anthony Lynn is going to outthink and out-scheme Bill Belichick?
No, I think you've outthought and out-schemed me, and I've now made a couple of bad picks, if I'm honest. I'm not. So I'll get producer Gary Hayes. We'll just record this whole thing again and pretend this didn't happen, and then I'll pick Chicago and New England, and everyone will be happy. We'll have a tie. No? Not having that?
Unfortunately, I think I'm just out of time. I don't think I could quite make that.
Well, then I will just wish you good luck. And I'm just going to say I don't feel confident at all.
Hey, if nothing else, Neil, come Sunday night, 6 p.m. kickoffs, the Lions and Bears has never held so much intrigue.
Gravesy, let's just wrap up this edition of Game Picks. And we kind of alluded to it a couple of times in the podcast. The NFL is navigating as best it can through a COVID-19 minefield at the moment, which seems to be getting more challenging every week. Where do you see it going between now and Christmas and, more importantly, into the playoffs and beyond?
Well, I think first things first, the NFL, if at all possible, has proven by the way they've rearranged fixtures over the last week that they want to get the regular season done and dusted in a manner whereby everybody can say every game was played. And I think that's borne out by what we saw with the Denver Broncos. You know, you say, fine, you've lost all your quarterbacks. We're not rearranging the game. You have to just live with it. Well, that's a mismatch, isn't it? The moment you start seeing somebody who hasn't played a single NFL snap trying to quarterback a team in the NFL against a team like the New Orleans Saints. They do have a little bit of wriggle room once they get to the postseason, though, in terms of having lost the Pro Bowl this year and having the ability to perhaps push back the Super Bowl if they actually needed it to. But it does seem to be getting more difficult. What I'll say on the flip side, though, is that to get to week 12 and seemingly complete every game has been a feat in itself. But yeah, it certainly isn't getting any easier.
Do you think it damages the product? And I know they don't want to let teams off the hook who, you know, I think they're probably behind the scenes quite annoyed at Denver's quarterbacks for, you know, reportedly not wearing masks, albeit for a short period of time. It's a team that's already had its head coach fined for not wearing masks on the sidelines. So do you think, though, that by ploughing ahead, and maybe Peter King's mentioned this a few times, you don't want to press pause because you don't know when you're going to press play again, but... that was a non-event in Denver at the weekend, you know, and who knows what kind of fight the Baltimore Ravens can put up, you know, as we're recording this 3.5 hours from now. So people will listen to it, you know, by the time the game will have been played by the time they hear this. But we don't know what Baltimore can do with so many players out. We saw the 49ers decimated against Green Bay. I get that they don't want to go early on the moving games to week 18, because what happens if it happens again? I just see a really long off season ahead, and I think you can give yourself a month or two's wiggle room, but they do seem intent on keeping it going. I just wonder if the product gets damaged sometimes.
Unquestionably so. I mean, the moment you, like we've said a few times already on this podcast, the moment you tell a team, right, sorry, you've got no quarterbacks, it's not our problem, you just have to deal with it. You know, Denver even applied to have one of their coaches play the role at quarterback, which shows you how desperate they were. And like you say, it's a mismatch. You know, nobody thought anything else other than the fact that the New Orleans Saints were going to win that game and win it by several scores. That being said, you've only got to look at the viewing figures that came out in America for Thanksgiving night. A record audience for this season, I think 33 million tuned in to watch Washington against Dallas, which is, you know, hardly the game of the week. So fans are still watching it in their numbers. And as long as the NFL keep getting figures like that, they're not going to be deterred. And it appears to this point in the season that fans are giving the NFL a little bit of a pass on this. They appreciate the extenuating circumstances, and they're not going to be turned away from it no matter what you put out on the field.
Imagine Vic Fangio calling Kendall Hinton to one side and saying, listen, Kendall, son. I mean, probably he doesn't talk like that. You know, he's not some Cockney geezer, Vic Fangio. But he's like, listen, Kendall, son, you know, I want you to be ready. I know you haven't played quarterback since college or high school. We believe in you, but this is how much we believe in you. We'd rather have a coach start over you. But if he can't, then we're going to start you and we believe in you then. But we're going to try and get a coach to play first who hasn't played football for years. Crikey. The fact that they even tried to get a coach to play quarterback is ridiculous. It's just so 2020.
Well, not only have you got that conversation, which undoubtedly had to have taken place, so that's going to diminish your confidence if it was fragile enough before the start of the game anyway. But on Sunday morning, you're hearing reports coming out of Denver that some of the players had no idea who Kendall Hinton was at all. They weren't even aware that he was on the practice squad. So what does that do when you huddle up for the first time in the game and you've got Cameron Jordan snarling on the other side of the field wanting to get after you? But what I do think's pretty relevant to all this, though, is that if, as in Baltimore's case, you know, your season is riding on it. No disrespect to Denver, but many people sort of thought they were on the wrong side of the playoff hill as it was. And you're forced to play in games like this. It could be critical to your season's chances. And I still think, even though we've got the Pittsburgh game for Baltimore to be played whilst we're talking here, and then they've got Dallas in a week's time, and they're still going to be affected, you presume, by the COVID outbreak there. That's when it becomes a little trickier and a little bit more debatable. But as we've seen, and I said previously, the NFL at the moment are intent on just getting the games played.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, good stuff, Gravesy. Before we go, make sure you head over to our social channels. We're at the NR Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, where you can track our picks and scores throughout the season. Send us your picks using the hashtag GamePicks, and we'll compare how you get on against us. Also, if you listen to the Game Picks on the Neil Reynolds podcast feed, you can also head over to the main Game Picks feed and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to help us build our audience going forward. Gravesy, this has been fun, mate. Great insight and good fun. So thank you for joining me and good luck.
Yeah, enjoyable as always. Likewise, good luck to you. And just for those Patriots fans listening, remember, it's Neil who says that Anthony Lynn can out-scheme Bill Belichick.
We will find out. And yes, I'm sure I will be speaking to you on text message throughout Sunday evening, Gravesy. So I look forward to that little exchange. Thank you to Richard Graves, and thank you at home for listening. Stay safe, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye for now. That's it for this week's episode of Game Picks. Thank you very much for listening. Episodes will be dropping every Thursday throughout the 2020 NFL season, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All that's left now is to say thanks to our special guest, and may the best NFL fan win. Game Picks is presented by myself, Neil Reynolds. Gary Hayes is our producer, while Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. Game Picks is a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. We'll see you next Thursday for more Game Picks.